Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise your name for this wonderful gift of salvation. Father, beside that, you have bestowed upon us your abundant blessings. You have given us everything what we need, way more than what we need. And out of that abundance, Lord, we brought these gifts to you. We pray that may you bless it. May you bless those who are in charge of distributing this fund, that this fund may bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we are going to look at the Romans chapter 8, a wonderful promise, a wonderful chapter, which gives us a tremendous hope. And this hope is this: nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. What a wonderful promise that is. But as we look at our life, you know, as we look all around us, sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes it feels that our life is in the hands of, random incidents. You might remember earlier in March, we heard about Christchurch mosque shooting. Somebody walked in the mosque and they just killed people. I come from Frankston. We are two streets down inside. You guys are on the main street. So just remember, you are at more risk than compared to the Frankston North. If somebody try to walk in here, they can walk in here fairly quickly. Just making my point. But all these things, you know, all these things happens all around us. And we think that, you know, is this promise, does really, you know, can we see that promise in our day-to-day life? Some time ago, back in 2008, there was a financial crisis the Australia faced. So many Australians lost their homes. So many Australians lost their investments. All their life savings, they lost just like that. Just in a fraction of a second, they lost everything. You might remember, you know, Cyclone Yasi in 2011 in Queensland destroyed so many homes, destroyed so many farms, and the lives were changed forever. The stabbing rampage of our Bourke Street might still in your memory. That shook the whole nation. And we thought, are we under the threat? Can we expect a terrorist attack in our country? And when we think about all these things, thought comes to our mind that our life is not that secure. And you realize that you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable more than what you think you are. But you have the promise as well. And this is what we are going to look at this morning. In the midst of this uncertainty, in the midst of all these, you know, incidences which are happening all around you, God has given you this wonderful promise that nothing in the whole creation can separate you from the love of God. All of us, or those of us, you know, who are Christians, you also know that, you know, our day-to-day life is full of trials. We have, inward struggle as well. We know that we want to do good, but we end up doing bad. We know that how we need to live. We need to forgive our brothers, but we struggle. We know that what we are to do, but we fail to do so every day. And that brings a doubt in our mind that I have this sin within me. Am I able to make it? Am I going to make it to the end? And Bible is saying that, you know, those who are going to stand till the end will enter into the kingdom of God. And that our sin brings doubt in our mind that is my sin going to separate me from the love of God? This morning, this passage is telling you, though you have remaining sin in you, those sin cannot separate you from the love of God. And that's the promise Paul is giving us through the word of God. You may be attacked by a random incident. You may lose your investment. You may lose your house. You may lose everything. But because God is for you, God is for you, nothing in creation can prevail against you. That's the wonderful promise. That's the wonderful promise. And this morning, I'd like to take your attention to these three major promises which we have. If you are in Christ, then these three major promises are yours. And that's where I want to, you know, take your attention to. The first one is, no one can stand against you. No one can stand against you. The second promise we have is, no one will be able to condemn you at the last day. And the third promise is, nothing in creation, no matter whatsoever, can separate you from the love of God. And these are the three major promises which we have, and that's what we are going to look at this morning. Look at verse 31 and 32 with me. Verse 31 and 32 tell us that because God is for us, no one can stand against us. And we can be sure of this because God did not keep his son away from us. Now, Paul is starting, you know, verse 31 with this word. What then shall we say to these things? What things he is talking about? He is actually summarizing the whole argument which he's making. He already said to his reader before that God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are made free from the power of sin and death. God has given us his spirit. We are children of God. Not only that, but he also said to us that God foreknew us. God predestined us. God called us. God justified us. And now, what then shall we say to all these things? In response to all these things, what can we say? And he's summarizing in a simple sentence. God is for us. God is for us. That means no legal charges will be brought against us. Verse 31 says that if God is for us, who can be against us? The obvious answer is no one. No one. But a perfectly reasonable answer to this question is that everybody in the world will be against you. If you are in Christ, then everybody in the world will be against you. Why I say that? Church history tells us that. You know, King Nero, he wanted to have a light in his garden. So what he decided to do? To burn all the believers on stake and put them on that stake and burn them so that he can have a light in his garden. And not only the persecution was not only back then, but persecution is still going on right now. There are your brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. They are facing persecution right now while you are sitting here on a comfortable pew, and they are facing persecution. They are facing all sort of challenges every day. It is still on. Jesus received hostility from the world. He did not have a red carpet through. Nobody welcomed him every time. And he also said that those who will follow me will face the hostility which I'm facing. Just a few days ago, you know, we heard what happened to a rugby player, Israel Folau. What happened? He took a stand for Jesus. Paul is not saying that if God is for us, then nobody in the world will ever be against us. But he's saying that nobody can be victorious over us. Nobody will prevail against us. He's saying that nobody can overcome the power of the true and living God. And that's the promise we have here. Verse 32 gives us a ground to believe that no one can stand against us. Look at verse 32 with me. He says that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is the ground. You can trust on that God is for you. Nothing will prevail against you because God did not spare his own son. You know, as soon as we read this, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We think, Yeah, that is true. He will give us all things. But does that your day-to-day behavior, does it reflect that? Does it reflect that? What do we think? We worry about all things, all small things. You know, when the elections were about to start, we all were worried that the different government might come. What's going to happen to us? We might not have a freedom to, you know, meet together. Our children might face, you know, persecution here. We were so much worried about all these things. We were thinking that, you know, am I going to be able to, you know, live as a Christian in this country? Should I live in Melbourne, or, you know, what do I do? Our, you know, state government is doing all this, you know, safe school program and, you know, the other education in our schools. And we think, we worried about all these things. And that's why you need to remember all these promises as well. Those things will give you grief. Those things will, you know, give you all sort of trouble. But if God is for us, then no one can stand against us. The logical conclusion of this verse 32 is that if God did not spare his own son, then he will also give us along with this all these things. God who gave his son will also provide us all things. It refers to all the spiritual and material blessings we need as we progress in our Christian life to the final salvation. It relates to all things comprehensively. It is possible that the devil, or, you know, the sinful man can make you sick. It is very much possible. It is possible that somebody can come and steal your car. It is possible that somebody just run into your home and, you know, just rob you off. It is very much possible that somebody can come and sow seed of strife in your marriage life. It is very much possible. It is very much possible that somebody can take your job. It is very much possible that somebody can rob you of your child. It is very much possible that after you leave from here, go on a road and you may lose your life. It is also possible. It is possible that people may bring false charges against you. They may take you to court. It is possible. But in midst of everything, this is the promise. If God is for you, the things that are against you, he designed to be for you. That's the promise. That's the promise God is giving us this morning to his people. What an impact of this should be on our lives. Our life should reflect these promises, isn't it? Our life should reflect it. Rather than worrying about all the things, rather than, you know, tailoring our life out of fear that we may lose our job, we may lose our, you know, salvation, or we may lose whatever. We tailor our life around that. Rather than tailoring our life around that, we are to seek God. We are to seek the kingdom of God. And Jesus also said that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. This is a wonderful promise. But this promise is not for everyone. This promise is for those who are in Christ. Let's look at our second promise. No one can condemn us. Verse 33 and 34 tells us that God is the impartial judge. He declared you righteous, and because of that, no one can condemn you. However, let me point out this. There is no guarantee here that no one will ever lay any charges to you or on you. In fact, one of the most common sins a Christian must endure in his life is that of slander. And one of the names of Satan is slanderer. As Christian, we constantly exposed to criticism, insults, slanderers, and lies of those who are hostile towards us. You know, in your Bible, just come to page number 852 in Matthew chapter 5 verse 11. It reads this way. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus anticipated that, that those who follow him will be the victim of the same kind of false accusations that he received. Paul is saying that no one can condemn us because Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for your sin. He took your sin upon him and he gave his righteousness to you. And now you are declared righteous. You are still sinners, but you are righteous. And because God is for you, nobody can lay charges against you. Nobody can condemn you. You know, God did not just declare you righteous just like that. He did not let your sin go unpunished. He laid all your sins on that man God, Jesus Christ. He took all your sins, past, present and future. And because of that, you are having this promise. You have this promise that no one can condemn you. Paul is saying that there is no more sacrifice required. There is nothing more to be had. In his death, in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, all our past, present and future sins are forgiven. Your sins has been paid in full. Full. And hence Paul says, who then is the one who condemn? Who then is the one who condemn? No one. But you may ask that, you know, what about when we really sin? We sin every day. And we feel, and when we are really guilty, here is where devil is more concerned and he brings accusation against you. And this is where you need to understand that there is a work of the Spirit when you sin and there is a work of devil as well. The work of the Spirit is to convict you for your sin. He will lead you to repentance. He will prompt you to confess your sins. Ask the forgiveness from God. The conviction of the Spirit is positive. It is redeeming. And when Satan, on the other hand, precisely for the same sins, he tried to bring blame against you. He tried to paralyze you. He tried to destroy you with guilt. Satan tells you this way. How can you be Christian? Have you looked at yourself in mirror this morning? What were you thinking before coming to church? What was going on in your mind? How can you say that your sins are forgiven? Have you seen yourself? So many sins you commit every day. How can you say that you are a Christian while you are not even fully trusting God's promises? He brings all this accusation against you. And at that point, you are to say to him, go away from me, you devil. I'm a justified man. My Lord and my Savior died for my sin. And because he has paid in full, I'm here. I'm justified. You cannot bring any charges against me. Christ is our advocate. He is making intercession for us. So our sins has been covered from every conceivable angle. It is possible that you may still face the consequences of your sin. You might have heard this book by Francine Rivers, The Last Sin Eater. I'm not a great fan of Francine Rivers, by the way. The story, you know, which that writer wrote was a very fascinating one, and it actually attracted me. The story which she wrote is based on an old Celtic practice in which a man in a village, usually a beggar, is designated as the sin eater. What happens is when person died, the family and friends of that person get together. They would offer bread and wine on behalf of their loved one. And this beggar would come, take away bread and wine. And it has been understood that as the beggar is eating bread and wine, he is taking the sin of that our loved one. That was the idea. The sin eater would come and take the sacrifices, and its people understand that he is taking the sin of the dead person upon himself. The practice went on for hundreds of years. One day a Christian missionary went to a village, and a young girl was really worried about her own sin, and she was looking for the sin eater, that she may find the sin eater so that she can offer him something so her sin can go away from her. And the Christian missionary heard her and led her to Christ. And he explained this young lady that Jesus is what she need. She learned that Jesus was the ultimate sin eater. She understood that. She knew that she had finally found the redemption and peace with God in Christ. And she could not hold herself. She went away and, you know, told that story to everyone, you know, gospel to every village people. And everyone realized that, oh, so we were under the wrong impression for so many years now, for hundreds of years. And the story tells us that the whole village came to faith. The entire village accepted Christ, and the most remarkable story of redemption was that of that village's sin eater. When he learned that Jesus could take away the sin of the sin eater, that is all he needed to find peace with himself and with God. Jesus is all we need to find peace. Now this story seems, you know, very interesting. It doesn't happen that way. And we might find it, interesting story. But this writer is highlighting a really good point. Really, really good point. Jesus is the ultimate sin eater. He is the ultimate sin eater. Devil might say that your sins are really big. You have committed so many sins in your past. It is possible that you may have committed some really heinous sin in your past. Yes, our sins are bigger, but the one who eats away the sins is bigger than our sins. Is way more bigger than our sins. Don't even think that your sins are bigger. Jesus is all we need to find peace. He is all we need to find eternal security. He is all we need to find empowerment from the Holy Spirit. He is all we need to be spiritually healed. As Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his own wounds, we are healed. And because his wounds have given us this wonderful new life, no one can condemn you. Yes, it is possible that your sins may be really big, but not big enough that sacrifice of Jesus Christ cannot cover it. It is possible that some of us may be living in a constant guilt of our own past sins. If so, took these two verses. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? There is a danger here there as well. Some of us, it is possible that might be coming to church and, you know, warming these pews for many, many years. And because of that, they might be under the impression that this promise applies to them as well. This promise applies to those who are in Christ, who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, who is following Christ. It is not for everyone. It is not for everyone. There is a danger here as well. You might not be in Christ. You might be thinking that way. And you might say, but how would I know that am I in Christ or not? The one way to answer the question is this way, by answering this question. Have you responded to the gospel? Have you responded to the gospel? Have you humbled your heart? Have you confessed your sins? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Are you living for him? Are you living for him? It is important to answer this question. If not, don't wait. Consider Christ. These are all wonderful promises can be yours in Christ. If you are not in Christ, then why are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Come and talk to us, one of us, or go and talk to one of your elders. Don't wait. In Christ, all your sins can be forgiven. But there is a limited time you have until He comes. Until He comes. Then there will be no more time for you. So if you are not in Christ, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, don't wait. Don't wait even for a day. Don't wait. Don't wait. Those of us who are in Christ, we are redeemed people, chosen by God. You are more than conquerors, and no one can separate us from the love of God. Let's look at our third promises. No one can separate us from the love of God. Verses 35 to 39 tell us that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. But at the same time, we are more than conquerors. Look at verse 35 with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The obvious answer is nothing. Nobody can separate us from the love of God. Paul is saying that any types of outward affliction or inward distress will separate us from the love of Christ. It also means that love of Christ does not eliminate our suffering. On the contrary, our very attachment to Christ will bring sufferings. Our very attachment to Christ will bring suffering in your life. It also means that love of Christ will increase your suffering. Look at verse 36 with me. It says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. As soon as you read, you know, this quotation from Psalm 44, verse 22, you might scratch your head and think, what Paul is doing here? He was going wonderfully in his argument that, you know, God is for us. And why is he chucking this, you know, this reference here? What is he doing? What's the point? If I take it out, his argument makes real good sense. Why does he require to do that? He's making an important point here. He's making a very good point here. What he's saying is that all these sufferings do in fact come upon those who are in Christ. Christ's love for us, as referred in verse 35, does not remove us from these sufferings. However, in this suffering, while we are being killed, while we are suffering, we are more than conquerors. That's what the point he's making. Read verse 37 with me. It says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, Australia is a wealthy place. Wealthy, wealthy place. Food shortage. If somebody talks to you about it, that, you know, we may have a food shortage, you might say, nah, we can't have a food shortage in our country. We are wealthy people. You know, we have way more than what we need. My point is this. Yes, we are wealthy. But if you're going to have a food shortage, don't even think twice that because you are in Christ, you will be spared. You won't be spared. We never experience an incident like 9/11. But if that happens tomorrow, don't think that because you are in Christ, you will be spared. If another cyclone like Cyclone Yasi comes on, don't even think that because you love Christ, that cyclone will turn away from you. To be Christian is a risky business. Christian will experience troubles of various kinds, including persecution. Those who are the enemies of the gospel may persecute you. You know, when in March we heard that the mosque was attacked by some mobs, we thought, it is very much possible that somebody can come and kill us. Yes, it is very much possible. When they will walk in, if they walk in to kill us, they will not even think twice that I'm going to let these people go because they are in Christ. They love Jesus Christ. That's why I'm not going to do that. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You may remember I said in the beginning, we are more vulnerable than what we think we are. But while we are vulnerable, we are more than conquerors. And that's the passage of, that's the message of this passage. The love of Christ triumphs over all misery. But what does this mean? How can we be more than conqueror when we are vulnerable? Paul is saying that while we are being suffered, and when we meet the enemies of affliction with the weapon of faith, the enemy is not just defeated, it is captured and made to serve the eternal good of the believer. In Christ, we don't conquer people in bloodbath or fights. It is a cowardly thing to go out and kill someone. It is a cowardly thing, but it requires lots of courage. It requires a courage to overcome the sufferings, to conquer the sufferings. You are not just the people who are, just Christian, but what Paul is saying it, you are more than conquerors. It requires much more strength to conquer distress or persecution than to just go and beat up someone. And Christ is the one who gives us power to do that. You know, the Greek word which translated here as more than conquerors also mean hyper conqueror. Or in other way we can also say that super conqueror. It can be translated, or it can be, you know, paraphrased this way, that you, those who are in Christ Jesus, are Superman. The real Superman, who doesn't confuse himself by wearing clothes in the proper order. But you overcome the sufferings. You are Superman in Christ. And that's the promise, you know, we have. Yes, we have sufferings of various kinds. Yes, we have trials of various kinds. Yes, everybody or anyone can come and persecute us. But in the midst of all these things, in the midst of all these sufferings, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We are vulnerable at the same time, but we are more than conquerors. Yes, we may lose our life. Yes, we may lose our house. Yes, we may lose our investments, but we are more than conquerors. Nobody in the world, nobody in the whole creation can separate you from the love of Christ. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Take these promises to your heart. Take these promises so when you meet the sufferings next time, rather than giving in, rather than whinging about it, just bring to yourself this wonderful promise. God is for me. Who is that one to condemn me? I know that I have remaining sin within me, but I'm a justified man. I'm a justified woman. Nobody can bring charges against me. Paul is making a point here very clearly. Nothing, absolutely nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of Christ. Paul gives a list of things. Can be summarized this way. Nobody in the whole creation can separate you. We know that we are ultimately safe and secure in Christ. We are vulnerable, but we are more than conqueror at the same time. This promise is for all of you, those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is to be known as your children because what your Christ, our Lord and Savior, has done for us. In him, we are more than conquerors. In him, we have the security of our future. In him, we have everything. So, Father, we pray that as we read and as we understood these words, Lord, we may take it to our heart. We may not be only the hearers of the word, but we may be doers of the word as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.